Ready, set, wrestle. Ha! 1, 2, 3, kick.
Dibs on the red tights. Dibs on the red tights.
All right, how about this? Ready, wrestle.
Wait, oh, are we starting now? Or is that what you're going to say when we do start?
We're starting now.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Well, let's move on a little bit into the Payback pay-per-view. You know, we had some pretty good matches throughout the evening. I thought that the Bayley and the Alexa Bliss match was a lot of fun. Alexa coming over from SmackDown during that Superstar Shake-Up. And I was kind of surprised to see Bliss win the match in San Jose in front of Bayley's hometown. I just thought that was kind of a surprise.
That might have been, that is weird to say, but that might have been the upset of the night, to be honest with you, just because of all those factors that you mentioned. In San Jose, it's in Bayley's hometown, and usually the hometown does take home the win. I mean, that's just how it's been. And on a pay-per-view match, and with the stakes as high as it was, for Bayley to lose that one, kind of surprised, and I'm not going to question the move, but I just didn't understand it.
Well, you know, I'm surprised by it myself, because a lot of wrestlers, they would, you know, especially in something like that, they want to do well in their hometown in front of their hometown crowd. Look at what happened to Bret Hart with the Montreal Screwdrop. You know, he said, you know what, I'll drop the title, but I don't want to do it in Canada. And
yeah.
So there was, you know, part of that storyline was he just didn't want to do it in Canada. Vince McMahon got upset enough that he set the wheels in motion for the screw job, and he got knocked out for it, too, because Bret just went behind the scenes.
I don't mean to get off base here, but that is still the most intense scenario. Can you imagine? You're having a discussion with Vince McMahon. He says, okay, you won't lose the title. You go into the ring, you get put into the sharpshooter, and all of a sudden the bell rings, and you turn around, and you're like, excuse me? I can't imagine just the flies on the wall that were watching everything just unfold. They had to be just shocked.
You know, Earl Hebner, who was the official at the time, and he had his twin brother, was also there. They didn't even shower. They didn't even get dressed. They left the arena immediately. Because they knew what was going on. They knew Bret would be just upset and the fans would be so upset. So, I don't know. Alexa Bliss is now the champion. I was kind of surprised by it.
I really wonder how that storyline is going to evolve. I hope it creates a good rivalry because I love Bayley. I've really been impressed with Bayley's work. I think she needs to be rewarded for that. So, maybe this creates a good rivalry for the Divas and, maybe it even escalates on to Total Divas. Man, I love Total Divas. Oh, yummy.
Are you still watching that junk?
Don't worry about it.
I watched some the other day, so.
Good. Good for you.
I'm on Twitter, on Turnbuckle Trash. You can follow us on Twitter, by the way, on Turnbuckle Trash. Just, by the way, the ratings for each of the past years after WrestleMania, so WWE post-WrestleMania, this includes the Payback pay-per-view, has gone down in the last 4 years, no, excuse me, 5 years. Each of those years after post-WrestleMania, including Payback, the ratings for viewership have gone down and significantly. I saw a tweet come out, and so I just had to, thought I was kind of in it, and it came out from Forbes report, so.
Yeah, well, it's understandable. I mean, you get kind of the post, it's almost like the Super Bowl letdown, you know, there's a little after WrestleMania. But I will say that the Monday night after Payback, the triple threat match for the number one contendership for the IC championship between,
sure.
They have Seth Rollins and then they have Finn Balor and also The Miz. You know, the winner of this triple threat is going to become the IC championship number one contender.
Absolutely.
At this point, I would say that was the match of the year I've watched all year long so far. It was so physical, and they had the really, really good psychology that The Miz does, the psychology stuff. And then they had not one, but two different run-ins from two different heels for two different reasons. The Miz is the number one contender now for the Intercontinental Championship with Dean Ambrose. That was brilliant thinking on their part. I loved it. I loved the way the match started with the Miz standing on you know, down on the floor, telling the other two, Finn Balor and Seth Rollins, to go at it. Just go ahead. You guys go at it, and I'll come in later. And then the psychology of the Miz taking Maurice and putting Maurice in front of him, and the crowd was going crazy. The announcers are going crazy. And then they get Miz into the ring. They corner him. Then all three of them start fighting each other. The match itself, the physicality, the moves, it was going great. And then it moves to the floor, and all of a sudden here comes Samoa Joe out to attack Seth Rollins, which advances that storyline. And I'm going, okay, so now they're going to be going Finn Balor and The Miz. Finn's probably going to win, and he'll go for the IC Championship. No, here comes Bray Wyatt. And he attacked Finn Balor. Yeah, and then The Miz, just with his facial features, you know, his face was just like in shock. He crawls and gets the pin, and now he's the number one contender. To me, that's a great match. The way it flowed, the way it was so unpredictable, that to me is the match of the year so far.
That's a bold claim. Ladies and gentlemen, you're hearing it from Dave Denton, right on Turnbuckle Trash. That's a bold claim.
I'm a bold guy. I'm a bold guy.
Oh, just calm the fetch down. Oh, my God. You always have to go there. You always have to go. Can't ever just be normal.
No, I can't be humble. Because, you know, Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror.
Oh, stop.
I'm getting better looking each day. To know me is to love me.
We're going to end this podcast if you don't talk.
I must be a heck of a guy.
Sorry, you do not deserve this, listeners. And I wish we could fix it, but his ego is bigger than him, and that's saying something.
That is saying something, isn't it? I was going to say the final match of the night, Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, with Reigns coming out, his shoulders all bandaged up, and Strowman and he go at it. I thought it was going to be another squash match, and then Roman Reigns gets his licks in, and actually, you know, he had a couple of pinning predicaments on Braun Strowman. And then Strowman gets not one, but two running power bombs against him and wins the match. I was surprised. After all that, I thought, as long as the match goes, somehow Roman's going to win this. But no, they had Braun Strowman win. And then Braun Strowman attacks him and does all the stuff on the steps, supposedly injures his, internal injuries. They actually had blood coming out of Roman's mouth. I enjoyed the match, but I enjoyed what happened afterwards even more.
So the whole attack him with the ring steps thing?
I'm talking in the post show.
Oh!
As they open that, they're showing Roman Reigns refusing medical treatment. And he's walking under his own power past the announcing stand, going to backstage where the ambulance is, and he's trying to get into the ambulance. Then you hear Braun Strowman go, "I'm not through with you." And all of a sudden you see the streak coming out as the ambulance doors are open. Roman Reigns sidesteps him, and one of those doors comes off the ambulance after Braun Strowman hit it. He hit that door hard and took it off the hinges. So you're saying, whoa, that's pretty cool, good spot. But it wasn't finished yet because Strowman gets up. After a little bit. And there's still a door there. And he comes after Roman again, who once again sidesteps him. And Strowman kind of goes into the ambulance, just kind of leans over into it. And here comes Roman Reigns grabbing that other door and slamming it on Braun Strowman twice. And, they kind of left it there. It was pretty cool.
Well, first off, Strowman's got so much momentum going on right now, it's ridiculous. And I hope this injury doesn't stop him from going any further with it, because he really is at the top of his peak in regards to momentum with the crowd, momentum with the wrestling itself. It was a great match, by the way. Him and Roman were just, you want to talk about two slobber knockers going at it. That had all the hype and it lived up to it. But just the momentum that he had in the injury, I hope the injury doesn't stop him from being able to continue what he's got going. Second of all, the crowd loves Strowman, which is really interesting. And for Reigns,
dude, this has just been a roller coaster. You beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania, and then you just get the crap annihilated, really, out of by Strowman. I just can't figure it out.
You know, Juice, I agree with you. Strowman might be out 4 to 8 weeks, by the way, after having a procedure on his elbow. And that's unfortunate at this point. So, but where in the blue blazes is the Universal Champion? Where is Brock Lesnar?
Yeah.
Can't they get him to, you know, at least have something about him, you know, sitting at his ranch enjoying life and saying, you know what, I can't wait to see what's happening between Strowman and Roman Reigns because I'm going to beat the, you know what, out of both of them. You know, something to advance his storyline. They're hardly even mentioning him. Every once in a while, they'll bring his name up. I think that's just a huge mistake to have this right after WrestleMania, and your supposed top guy is not even there. So I just don't know where that's going at this point.
Kyle, I just don't know. I'm still confused. I think the WWE Universe might agree with you, too. Like, I don't know where you go with that. And it's almost at a dead end right now. You almost have to restart, which is really unfortunate. But
why wouldn't you have something planned to keep Brock Lesnar's name going? Whether you pre-record vignettes or if you're just doing something where there's a Twitter piece or something from Brock, you know, through the WWE accounts and stuff that says something about watching Raw. You know, when I come back, these guys are going to, you know, they're going to Suplex City. Something to keep his name going out. They used to say this, hey, you know, you can't defend your title. You have to defend your title at least every 30 days or you're stripped of the belt. Well, no, that doesn't happen anymore. So I just don't understand what's going on with Brock. And any other thoughts on Payback?
You know, I think we hit them all. But again, you know, some really good matches, a really, really good main event, and a really, really weird stipulation match. Actually, intended ended up being a great match in Wyatt and Norton. So, all in all, I give it a grade of B.
I thought the House of Horrors match was really good. A lot of people didn't. I enjoyed it. But, you know, that's different strokes for different folks, you know?
More trash is on the way on TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Oh, he's got him in a subatomic headlock. Ow, that's gotta hurt.
Actually, I can tell you from experience, it does hurt.
You were wrestling?
No, just married.
It's time to take out the trash.
Anyway, so now we're through with Payback. Let's talk about your experience taking your son to WAR in Salt Lake City.
Oh, my goodness. So we went up to Salt Lake. It was at a small rec center on the north end of Salt Lake. It's a small promotion out of Salt Lake. Like you said, Wrestling Association of
Alliance
the Rockies.
Alliance of the Rockies.
Alliance of the Rockies. Wrestling Alliance of the Rockies. They were supposed to have a guy from Lucha Underground there. His name's Kevin Cross. He hasn't wrestled on anything but dark matches and stuff, but Kevin Cross couldn't make it. He ended up competing in a AAA event down in Mexico that day. So they just had some local guys there. Their champion is, his name is Brick. I can't remember what his last name is, but he's a big guy, a strong, tough guy, baby face. The kids love him. Their tag team champions, they're three mangy looking fellas. And they all, when they defend their titles, all three of them get to compete. So,
Cleaver rules.
Yeah. So they defended their titles against some guys from, let's see, it's a promotion out of Las Vegas.
Future Stars of Wrestling, I bet.
Future Stars of Wrestling, FSW. A couple guys from FSW showed up wearing masks, looking like superheroes. Those guys were pretty darn good. They were small. But you could tell, I hope this doesn't sound rude. Sometimes you can tell that the different caliber of performances.
Right.
But these guys were really good. And I'm not trying to say anything bad about the local guys, because they did fantastic as well. There's a small guy, Izzy Shane is his name.
Uh-huh.
A small guy that did just awesome, did good work. And for a small guy who didn't have a lot of meat on his bones, that guy was moving around the ring real good. And just, you know, I would say it was just a good family fun event. There was no foul language. There was no skin. There was nothing really, but I would say all positive. Just good old fashioned entertainment.
I was going to ask you, you took your son, didn't you?
I took my
Jackson.
Boy.
Tell everybody how old Jackson is.
Jackson's 4 years old, and he is my little wrestling buddy. He loves professional wrestling just like his dad. He loves to watch Lucha Underground. So we always watch Lucha Underground on Netflix, and he just eats it up. And he loves John Cena. Whenever I watch a pay-per-view, he runs around in the house saying, "John Cena, John Cena." He puts on his Rey Mysterio mask and runs around the house. He loves wrestling. That was one thing. He's like, "Was John Cena going to be here tonight?" He couldn't quite understand that we weren't at the WWE, you know. But, you know, Dave, all in all, for a small show and a small event, it was basically just a gymnasium. There's probably 50 people there. And maybe you can tell me more about this, because you've seen some small shows like this before. But I admire these guys for coming out and performing, and the talents just did the best they could, and they probably didn't get paid very much, if anything at all.
If anything,
and they just did it for the fans. And
you know, that's the thing about the independents. These guys are working on their craft, you know, and it's like minor league baseball and stuff, minor league football. Most of these guys will never make it to the big show. Biggest majority of them won't. They can maybe eke out a little extra living, but they do it for the joy of performing for the fans. And I've listened to Stone Cold's podcast enough, and some of the stuff Jimmy Cornette's done, if I can get past the language. They talk about performing in front of 25 or 50 people and how they had to do it because of the fans, because they didn't want to disappoint those families that came there, like you with your boy, or maybe, some guys that just came out just to see the wrestling. You know, they just didn't want to disappoint. They go out there for the love of the performance. And I would venture to say, since I am somewhat in the entertainment industry with what I do, if you're listening for the first time, I'm a radio announcer at a small station in Logan, Utah, but I would do it if I was in just a little bitty teeny tiny town, because I love doing it. I love.
Well, and you're good at it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
I've told you before that before I even knew you, before we were even friends, I always listened to Cool 103.9. Because I would rather have listened to you than anybody else in on any other station. And I think now that we've become friends, I've always listened to you more just because we're friends. But yeah, I've always enjoyed listening to you.
Well, let me get a little plug in for the station website, cool1039.com, KOOL1039.com, and we do stream. We also have a phone app. My boss would be very happy to hear me give him some free plugs.
That's nice of you.
But it is kind of fun. I'm the morning guy there, and but it is the love of performing. I think that's why you see community theater here in northern Utah. We have several community theaters in small, Cache Valley, 100, 110,000 people? There are three community theater groups. Plus, you got the university with all their performances and stuff. It's the joy of performing. Whatever that performance is, whatever you love to do, whether it's acting, whether it's doing music, you know, maybe you're in a small band, or you're on radio, or you're a professional wrestler. If you like to perform, that is what you do.
You know, and I got to hand it to these guys, you know. I got to tell you about this guy. You and I have gone to UCW several times, and we've gotten to know the guys there pretty well, and I'll follow them on social media and keep up with the storylines on YouTube and stuff. And so I know the guys at UCW a lot more. I know their names a lot more than these guys at War, because this was the first time I've ever been there. But there's a big guy. He's probably as tall as you, Dave. How tall are you?
6'1".
Man, he's got to be taller than you then. I thought you were bigger than that. I thought you were taller than that, Dave.
Oh, I'm just rounder.
No, you're not. Quit it. This guy's probably 6'3", 6'4". Big guy. Probably
big guy.
280, big
yeah.
guy. And I'm going, how is this guy moving around the ring? I wish I knew his name, and I need to find who this guy is, and we got to get him on the show, because I could not believe this guy was moving the way he did. And he had a pretty good gimmick. It was kind of reminded me of like a Papa Shango or something like that. He had a top hat on, and he had his face painted up, and kind of looked like a witch doctor or something like that. And he came out, and he was in a three-way. It was a triple threat for the War title, I believe. And he gets up on the top rope, and he has the ref kind of help him. He's walking the rope, and he stops and turns, and it was seriously like slow motion. I couldn't believe this big guy is going to do. I'm like, what is he going to do? No way. He stops, bounces, faces the other way, and does a moonsault off the top rope. And
whoa.
I'm like, this guy is huge. And he kind of overshot it a little bit. And the guys tried to catch him as best as they could. And he hit hard. He totally missed the mats. He smashed into the concrete. He was hurting. He laid out on the mat on the ground for a while, and you could tell he was hurting. And he got up. Whatever he did, he dug deep, and he rolled back in the ring and finished the match. And Britt Alexander retained the War title.
Wow.
So for not having their main event guy show up, they put on a hell of a show. I'll give them that.
And you actually got to do an interview with some of the guys, didn't you?
Yeah, I had the opportunity to. The one thing about these smaller promotions, Dave, and I think they don't get enough credit, is these guys, once the show is over, they don't have a crew, Dave. They don't have anybody to come in and take the ring down. They don't have
right.
anybody to come in and take the sound down. They do it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was able, and so they were all very, very busy with clean up and putting up chairs and taking down the ring. But I was able to talk to the tag team champs called, I believe they're called A Different Breed.
Just before we go to the interview, any final thoughts about War?
You know, I'll give them plugs for it was a good thing to take your family to. UCW is I keep repeating myself and I apologize. We've gone there, we've seen it. They put on a great show. I think it cost us is it $10 or $15 to get in? I don't remember.
Yeah, something like that.
I think when we saw Rey Mysterio, it was like $20 or $25. These guys, they let my boy in for free, and they charged me $10. And So it was very competitively priced for good, solid entertainment. I mean, you can't even see a movie for what they charge to get in and see live professional wrestling. So good for them. And they have a, and they work close with another promotion called EPW. And you've talked to some guys from EPW.
Epic
before.
Pro, yeah, I think it is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And EPW has a show coming up May 27th at 1 o'clock in Salt Lake. So if anybody wants to catch a local show, look up EPW. They share some talent with War. And another thing I'll add is they talked about this at this time. War is having another event. I believe it's May 20th. They're going to have Mr. Anderson from former WWE superstar Mr. Anderson, and also he was real big on TNA. And I'm sure everybody knows Mr. Anderson. And they're also going to have Angelina Love and Davey Richards.
Yeah, man.
So
that's
three
awesome.
Big TNA stars are going to be in Salt Lake. So that's cool.
Yeah, and aren't they going to have Juventud Guerrero later?
So, yeah, Juventud Guerrero is going to come, I think, in June. And then Killer Cross, Kevin Cross, is coming back again for July 22nd, I believe.
Awesome.
They're getting some good names, man, so good for them.
Hey, well, let's play that interview with some of the competitors from WAR.
At the War show in Utah with probably one of the meanest factions here, they call themselves the Different Breed. Whoa. We got
Izzy.
Cliff Adams.
Spike.
Izzy, Cliff, and Spike. Izzy, dude, tell me about those moves tonight, man. Holy hell.
Well, you know, I just go out and, you know, whatever comes to mind, it's just there, and I do what I can. Just, you know, if people don't like me, oh well, it's their own fault. I still got the belts, though.
Yes, you do.
That's the most belts.
Cliff, your opponents tonight, who did they think they were?
Couple of comic book nobodies, that's who they thought they were. We completely just showed them the door in War. They're probably never coming back. That's what we do to tag teams in War. We kick them right back out.
That a boy. So Spike, you're holding the belt. Tell me about this. What's going on, man? You guys are if I'm correct and understand right, you're the longest reigning champs, tag team champs in War
in all of Utah.
Whoa. Okay. So you guys really must be good. So tell me more.
What it takes is whatever it takes. It doesn't matter who it is, because we're gonna win, and we're gonna retain. We're gonna keep them. We've got all four of the tag team championship in War right now.
Wow, Izzy.
We have fought off all oncomers, and you know none of them can get a 1-2-3 on us. So
a lot of them are gone.
A lot of them run off to different states because they just can't show their face anymore.
They split up.
Yeah, they break up. Yeah.
So you guys really drive a wedge between most tag teams, huh?
They can't beat us, man. I mean, we are the Different Breed after all.
Yes, you guys are a different breed. Anyways, great job tonight, guys. You really showed those boys from Vegas how we do it here in Utah. I don't know who they thought they were. They thought they could come into town tonight and sure didn't show up. Well, anything else you guys want to talk about? Tell me about next month.
Where is greatness? We are here. The Different Breed is greatness. Because, well, they haven't come back. Now have they? They haven't claimed that spot. We will gladly take it.
Are you guys going to be defending the belts next month again?
You know, if there's another team, we were more than happy to put these belts on the line. Because bottom line is, we're going to retain them, and they're going to just have their tails tucked between their legs.
we are the tag team here.
So would you guys classify yourselves as fighting champions?
You could say we're fighting champions. We'll do pretty much whatever it takes to keep these belts around our waists.
Oh, great. Well, thanks, guys. Different breed. Anything else you want to add tonight, guys?
Be at the show in May.
Arr, 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 arr!
Thanks, guys.
A taste of the awful. The insidious. Flying butt pliers.
The champion with the butt fumble.
Well, you know, on ROH TV, there's a new, well, he's been there for about a year, Punishment Martinez. They're starting to call him Damian Martinez. Big guy, really tall, not overly muscled, but he, you know, he's a big, big guy, and he's got a great look. And, you know, he looks really dark and evil, kind of like a young Undertaker. I mean, maybe not quite as big as the Undertaker, but that kind of character. Well, he was going against the Punishment Damian Martinez.
Okay.
This guy could be a star. Keep your eye on him. Now, he's going on a one-on-one match with the Beer City Bruiser. Now, the Beer City Bruiser has a body not unlike Dusty Rhodes.
Okay.
Just big, burly, overweight kind of guy. You know, he's big in the middle. And his gimmick is he comes out and he's carrying a half keg on his shoulder, smoking a cigar. He's a bad guy, the Beer City Bruiser. So, and he wrestles in a tag team with the last real man in professional wrestling. I just love that guy. And so they're having the match, and the match itself was good. Bruiser is one of those big guys that can really move. He does, you know, the rolling senton. He does all kinds of different moves that a guy his size you wouldn't expect to have. Well, they're getting ready for a spot where the Bruiser is on the floor, and Martinez does a spot that he does every match where he not only jumps over the top rope, he's jumping over the ring post, okay?
Oh.
Yeah, and then he turns it into like a kind of a moonsault. He kind of dives. Now, if you know about professional wrestling, it's very important for the man on the floor to catch him. They're the one that really takes the bump. Well, for something didn't go right because the Bruiser either wasn't there or he undershot the move. Something did not go right. Martinez, in midair, tucks his head underneath and takes the brunt of falling. Now, he's on the ring. He's jumping over the ring ropes. So what would you say, 8 feet in the air? 8 to 9 feet in the air? And he gets his body in a position to where he's taking the brunt of this big fall right onto his shoulders and back.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, he took a nasty, nasty spill. So Colt Cabana is there doing commentary. You could obviously tell that Colt and the other commentators were kind of like, oh, what? Colt Cabana and Silas Young, the last real man in professional wrestling, all of a sudden Colt Cabana says, he's still alive, folks. And Martinez gets up and kind of does almost a bow, just puts his arms up almost in Randy Orton style.
Oh,
it was scary looking how nasty that fall was.
So we're saving the galaxy again?
Yep.
Awesome! We're really going to be able to jack up our prices for two-time Galaxy Savers.
On this segment of Turnbuckle Trash, let's go to the movies. May the 5th, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 made its premiere. Now, I got to see it. Zane got to see it, too. It was great. It stars the great Dave Bautista, the former WWE great, who is playing Drax the Destroyer for the second time. This time, Drax was a little bit different. Listen to Dave Bautista talk about Drax the Destroyer.
It's so weird. He's so not the Destroyer. It was weird. I thought they were going to go more with that version of Drax for the second one, but no, he's more of a lighthearted Drax. Yeah, he's just more content. He's happy, you know, with the people. He's found love again. He's kind of learning to live again.
On the run,
darkest secret?
Dude, come on. I think you're overreacting a little bit.
You must be so embarrassed. Do me.
Let's go to the movies, why don't we?
Well, all right. You want to come visit me here? Am I coming up there?
Yeah, let's go to the movies because today, the day we're recording this, my wife and I went to go see Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Wasn't it great?
It was fantastic. And I'm going to take my hat off to Dave Bautista. I've always was a Bautista fan, but he was so blasted funny in this role as Drax the Destroyer. And still, you know, he looks intimidating and huge, and he is turning into a very good actor, too.
Yeah, you know, he had that
movie.
Role. He was one of the bad guys in that new James Bond movie, and he did a fantastic job. I said, speaking of movies, guess who else has a new movie out? Johnny Mundo. No way. Boone the Bounty Hunter.
Cool.
I think it's going to be a box office smash.
Independent film?
Heavy on the B.
You know, this week, John Cena's new movie is out, mainstream movie, called The Wall.
Oh, that's coming out on, is that on Amazon, though? Isn't that an Amazon-only release?
John Cena? No, I think it's going to be in theaters.
Is it? The one where he's the he's the sniper? I think it's an Amazon-only release, isn't it?
It could be, but, you know. And then Cena, his show that he does for Fox, American Grit, should be coming out pretty soon. I think he started in June. That's a good show to watch.
Oh,
I really enjoy it. So we'll have to see if that movie's any good. And then The Rock's new movie is coming out this month. It's
Baywatch.
Remember Baywatch?
Baywatch. Bay?
Yeah, Bay. It had David Hasselhoff, Pamela Sue Anderson, Nicole Eggert, Yasmin Bleeth, oh my word, she was so good looking, and Carmen Electra in the old TV series. I've got to admit, I think I've watched maybe two episodes of Baywatch in my entire life.
Yeah.
I just didn't like it. The one I watched had wrestlers in it. It had Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair. Yeah,
I'm with you. I saw Thunder in Paradise with Hulk Hogan in it.
But I think they were on a Baywatch episode, too. And I think Kevin Sullivan was in it. And I just never liked Baywatch. It just wasn't my kind of thing. So.
Hey, that's because it's not Batman.
Yeah, it's not Batman. That's true. And the Dwayne Johnson movie is coming out now. And it's getting good reviews. It looks like it could be pretty funny. I just love The Rock.
Did you see the Disney movie Moana?
Yes, I did. Very good.
Oh, my gosh. He is so talented. When he sang in that movie, he was so good.
Yes, he was.
It kind of reminded me of when he did his rock concert on Raw.
He sang to Vicky Guerrero and everything?
Yeah.
I wanted to quickly go over just a couple little things on the news. Impact is working on its merger with Global Force Wrestling. I don't know why they're making a big deal out of Global Force. I mean, that was a nothing promotion. I know Jeff Jarrett involved, but remember Billy Corgan of the Smashing Pumpkins?
He back?
Not with TNA. He has purchased the NWA, the National Wrestling Alliance.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Now, in the planning stages of doing something now with the NWA.
Well, I know they have a network thing that's similar to...
Now, the deal that Billy Corgan did not include that little network that they do. And did you hear about X-Pac, Shane Waltman? The 1-2-3 kid? He got busted at LAX.
With what?
He was flying to London. A drug-sniffing dog found an item in Waltman's backpack. When the police opened it up, they found 38 meth capsules, 56 THC tablets, 2 liquid THC cigarettes, 3 marijuana chocolate bars. Now, here's the thing. TMZ did the big story on this. Waltman told TMZ that drugs were being used to fight a yeast infection. That's the biggest kind of yeast I've ever seen. So he was using all these illegal drugs to fight a yeast infection. I'm sorry. That makes me laugh.
There goes his Legends contract.
Yeah, he's in trouble again. Do you know who Ember Starr is in NXT? She's a fairly new competitor there.
No.
She's really good. They were setting up a feud with her and the women's champion Asuka. She's out for a while because of an injury. And then Emma, beautiful Emma, had a bad fall in Liverpool. And evidently, the pro wrestling sheet is reporting that she is injured and had to be assisted backstage, and she's going to miss a while, too. She can't catch a break.
I blame the WWE for that one. She had a lot of potential, but they just never gave her a chance, I don't feel.
And then she had that little legal problem where she supposedly did some shoplifting, but it turned out not to be that. And, yeah, there was just all kinds of problems with that. But I wish her the best because I think she's a good performer, so.
When she was just kind of goofy, and when she used to come out and do her little goofy thing, and they didn't try to make her into a heel or anything, that's when she was the best. But then they tried to change her. But.
Yeah, it's that kind of goofiness when she did it with Santino Marella, came out with that song. I thought it was good. I mean, that's where I thought she was, you know, almost Bailey-esque. You know, they do this Bailey with the dancing big old blow-up items and make her. Not goofy, but, you know, she's smiling all the time. But, I just wish her the best because I've always enjoyed her work in the ring, so.
Well, my man, what do you think? I think we've covered a lot in a little bit of time, unlike Raw.
Yeah.
Hey, man, it's always good to talk to you. Tell Zane I say hello and tell Zane to quit being such an egotistical little poop and do a show with us together.
Okay, I'll do that.
Now it's time to say goodbye to all our company.
Come on, sing it, Cole. Hey, 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 goodbye. Na, 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 na. Come on, doctor. Hey, 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 goodbye.
Everybody. I feel the energy. Hulkamania's running worldwide.